Amen. All right. Oi. Shabbat shalom. I feel like if I don't start it that way, people will think something's wrong with me. This week we have a double parasha, Acharei Mot, which means after the death, and Kedoshim, which translates to holy ones. Between these two parashas, we'll be covering Leviticus 16 through 20. These two parashas cover the Yom Kippur service, sexual sins, punishment for child sacrifice, and really the repeated teaching to observe the Lord's commandments. Now, that's a lot to cover, but all these themes of these parashas can be summarized in one word, holiness. So this morning, Lord willing, I would like to explore what these parashas teach us about Adonai's holiness and how it relates to us all. Now, in Leviticus 19:2, we have repeated for us again the command that we should be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. The Hebrew word at the root for holy is kadosh. Understood simply and very literally, it refers to the idea of separation between everything that is holy from everything that is not holy. Something that is holy is set apart. The land of Israel is holy because it is set apart from all the other land in God's creation. The Sabbath is holy because it is set apart from all the other days of the week. But simply describing holiness as separation does not really address what makes something holy. What exactly is holiness? God's word, and specifically this verse, makes it clear the Lord himself is a definition of holiness. I really like the way A.W. Tozer in The Knowledge of the Holy, which is an excellent book if you've never read it, defines this truth. Holy is the way God is. To be holy, he does not conform to a standard. He is that standard. He is absolutely holy with an infinite, incomprehensible fullness of purity that is incapable of being other than it is. So holiness is more than just God's goodness or his perfection. It is the overwhelming and incomprehensible essence of his nature that makes him different from every other created thing, including us. Everything about the Lord is holy. He lives in a holy heaven and is served by holy angels. Everything in heaven is holy, and nothing unholy can live in that place. Now, we read in our first parasha this week the commandments concerning Yom Kippur and how it relates to our holiness. It was one day out of the entire year that the high priest of Israel could step into the most holy place, the place where the holy presence of the Lord dwelled. He was required to do so to offer sacrifices for our sins, our lack of holiness. Our sinfulness, our lack of holiness, is something we rationalize and justify in our lives. But if we spent even a moment before Adonai in heaven, our inflated sense of holiness would be exposed as a serious overestimation. The reality is that to approach God, we need his help to do so. We cannot save ourselves, despite what you might find in your local bookstore. Therefore, we read of the sacrificial system in the Mosaic Covenant. In Leviticus 17:11, we read that the shedding of blood is required for the forgiveness of sins. The Yom Kippur ceremony required several different animal sacrifices. Through these sacrifices, we see repeatedly the true consequences of our sins, death. Because these sacrifices were done every year, as the writer of Hebrews tells us, it showed us that this system did not perfectly make us holy to stand before Adonai. We continued to sin, and so more sacrifices were required. Now, as we continue reading our parashas, we have numerous commandments concerning not engaging in sinful sexual activities. Most of the Ten Commandments are repeated, and there is a charge to love our neighbors as ourselves. The Lord commands our people to not imitate the sinful practices of those who surrounded us or that we were called out from. But we fail this command, and if we are honest with ourselves, we can admit we continue to do so today. Often, we do not appear to be separate at all from the sinful culture that surrounds us. As we read the Lord's commandments, we quickly see how we fail to measure up to the clear standard we have been given. But the law is not bad or evil. It is of God, and everything of God is holy. And it reveals to us the reality of our fallen nature and our lack of holiness. So, with the reality of our sin set before us, the clear command of the Lord that we must be holy as he is holy, what are we to do? We need the Lord to enter our lives and save us from our sins. The Yom Kippur sacrifice and the entire Mosaic covenant was a gift given by the Lord to our people so that we could begin to approach the standard necessary for dwelling with Adonai. However, the Lord knew that we would break this covenant, and so he sent his son, Messiah Yeshua, to be the final and perfect sacrifice for us. He became the ultimate Yom Kippur sacrifice, not just providing temporary forgiveness to Israel, but permanent and lasting forgiveness to all people throughout all time. This is a forgiveness that is everlasting, and it can never be taken away. And that's a truth we need to understand. When we accept the atonement, the forgiveness that has been provided for us through Messiah Yeshua, the Spirit of God enters our hearts. We are sanctified, which is just a fancy way of saying we're set apart. We're made holy, not because of who we are or what we have done, but what Adonai has done for us. This process of being made holy starts the moment we welcome Messiah Yeshua into our lives and is a lifelong process in a fallen world. You know, when I was a kid, I understood holiness and the process of becoming holy as rule keeping. If I followed the list God gave me in his word for being good, then I would be holy. But holiness is more than rule keeping. It's more than just trying to follow the commandments or even taking the burden of the law upon yourself. It's more than keeping an account of your successes and failures in following his commandments. Holiness is also more than some model of spirituality, of being spiritual but not religious, which seems to be the religion of preference of our time. It is not just a subjective standard of our own creation. Holiness is looking at Messiah Yeshua, looking at God, and through his spirit, becoming more and more like him each day. It is being renewed into the image of God that we first were in the Garden of Eden, and striving with his help to keep his commandments and to live a life that is marked by right behavior and thinking. It is avoiding the sins mentioned in these parashas, sins of improper sexual contact, sins of idolatry, and the sin of not loving our neighbors as ourselves. Holiness is having a genuine desire deep within to keep God's commands. It is not compromising or rationalizing in the face of hard choices when the world expects us to act one way and we know we must act differently. If we are to be holy, to be set apart, then we should look in some way different than the world around us and desiring to live forever with our holy Creator. The reality is, though, we will never be perfect in this life. But we have the promise that if we confess our sins, the Lord will forgive us through Messiah Yeshua. And that covers all sins. So when we consider the holiness of our God, may it encourage us to break with the sins and shame of our past. If you have not yet experienced the transformation that comes from knowing God through his Son, then I encourage you today to ask him to reveal himself to you. And in a sincere prayer, he will honor. May these parashas help us to understand the standard we are to strive to reach. May each of us look forward to our eternal home with Adonai, where we can look upon the Lord with joy, washed clean of our sins. May the Lord, through his Spirit, transform us daily to be less like ourselves and more like him. Thank you.